Hello, 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 hello. Okay. Hello, 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 hello. Okay. Okay. All right. Settle down. Okay. There is no middle ground between the world and Christianity. For those of us who are trying, oh, Brother Johnny, I hope our church can be a little bit more relevant. That people can be a little bit more. You know, we can kind of merge. People can find their place. Can I say this? Genuine Bible Christianity, there is no middle ground between Christianity and the world. There is no middle ground. You can't. From the Old Testament to the New. In the Old Testament, Elijah on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings chapter 18 said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Oh, sorry, not that. That's it. Joshua 24. But you know how long hold ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. If Baal, whom you are trusting for rain and food, is your God, then go and serve Him. If God be God, serve Him. Okay? And you'll notice in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, the Lord Jesus Christ made a very clear statement, which is scary sometimes when I read the commandments of God. When you read the Word of God, God doesn't give any room for middle ground. Matthew 12, 30. Let's read it together, alright? Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Yes. Jesus says, if you do not stand with me, you are against me. Jesus said, if you don't go out and gather the people into the kingdom of God, by that very action of not doing so, you are actually scattering. That's what he says. And that's scary for me because in the context it has relevance to the non-believers. But you know, as a Christian, Jesus also says the same thing. Because as a believer, we can be an enemy of God. Okay, I want to start there because we're dealing with the forsaking of this world for Christ. I'm not saying that when we forsake this world, it means that we do not do anything anymore. We quit our jobs. We just go to live in Sembawang Park, build tents and fish for a living. And wear all the candles. And we need to buy mosquito coil. And there are some Christians who believe that when you forsake the world means literally you go somewhere else and you don't interact with the world anymore. Okay? How many of you read this lady who for a long time she didn't use money? There was one lady, you read in the newspaper, who didn't use money for how many years? 15 years? I don't know, a lot. Many, many years. And she wanted to say, it started off as a trial, I think. I'm not too sure. But in the end, she ended up not having even a euro. Not, she had to live in Europe. Huh? Anyone? And she was just barter trading, you know. You need something, exchange for service or food. I need carrot, I got potato. I need carrot. Oh, you got carrot, you need potato, I exchange with you, that kind of thing. And so for many, many years, you don't use that. But you know, that's not what Jesus is mentioning. And you know, the more I read the Bible, and I hope you find that too, consistent in the trend, when you stand with Christ, you cannot stand in the world. No man can serve two masters. And yet Jesus says, ye are in the world, but ye are not of this world. Let's turn to Matthew 19. That's a start. Matthew 19, 27 to 30 is our text. The title of tonight is The Forsaking of This World for Christ, Encouragement for the Believer. Encouragement for the Believer. We'll read 27 to 30 together. Let's stand if you don't mind. Let's stand as we read God's Word together. Alright? Matthew 19, verse 27 to 30. I'll read verse 27, then you read verse 28, and so on until we finish at verse 30. Okay, ready? Verse 27, I read. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Verse 28. And everyone that had forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Verse 30. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us as you spoke to the disciples 2,000 years ago. Lord, we know your word is still alive today. And you can still speak to the hardened heart. Lord, you can still speak to us as your people too. Help us to understand, Lord, that the forsaking of the world brings blessing for the believer. And Father, I pray that every Christian here will make a decision in their heart to put you first. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me begin by quoting from one book of the martyrdom of the disciples of the Lord. Stephen. Stephen was one of the first martyrs for Christ. His death was occasioned by the faithful preaching of the gospel. That means that he was killed because he was faithfully preaching the gospel. To such a degree of madness, the people were very excited to kill him that they threw him out of the city and they literally stoned Stephen to death. James the Great, I just read this. James was killed by Herod Agrippa, who was the governor of Judea. The governor of Judea, Herod Agrippa, wanted to persecute the Christians. And in order to kill the Christians, what he did was he got the Christian leaders. He killed the Christian leaders first. And he led James the Great. All right, James was led to the place of martyrdom. His accuser, interestingly, the person who accused him, James, was brought to repentance when James was going to be killed. And when the person who accused James was so touched by his behavior towards him that the person who accused him repented, and both of them got executed at the same time. All right? And that was James. That was James. Philip was scourged. He was thrown into prison and afterwards he was crucified. Matthew was killed with a halberd, which is actually a club. Right? They bash his brains out, basically killed him in AD 60. James the Less, he was the James that was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He was the author of the epistle, James. And at the age of 94, he was beaten and stoned by the Jews. And finally had his brains dashed out with a fuller's club. Basically, he was killed by the Jews again when he was 94 years old. Matthias was Jerusalem and he had his head, was stoned at Jerusalem and had his head cut off. Andrew was a brother of Peter. He preached to many in the Asian countries, the Asiatic nations, in the Middle Eastern area. But then he was taken and crucified. Okay, what happened was, you know, the St. Andrew's cross is like this. Okay, he was crucified this way. That's why today St. Andrew's Junior College, St. Andrew's School, they had a cross. That's this way, the St. Andrew's cross. He was crucified that way. Mark was dragged to pieces by the people of Alexandria. Basically, Mark, interestingly, some of these apostles, actually some people, when they died, they actually tied the people who were killed to four horses. Okay? Four horses. Two hands, two legs. And they push the horses in different directions. And they literally just dislocate the person until the person dies. Alright, Mark went through that. Peter was crucified upside down. Okay? Because Peter was actually running away. Okay? According to church history, he was running away out of Rome. And he actually saw Jesus walking into Rome. And he said, "Lord, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going in to be crucified again." And Peter realized that that was supposed to be him. And he went back in. And he knew that God says that he was to be crucified. He went back in. And I think you all know the story. Peter said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way of my Christ." And they crucified him upside down. Paul, the apostle, had his head cut off for the gospel. Jude, the brother of James, he was crucified as well in AD 72. Bartholomew translated the gospel of Matthew in the language of India. And he preached in that country too. He was at length cruelly beaten and crucified by the people in India. Thomas also preached in India, and people were so angry with him, the pagan priest, that they actually speared him and killed him in India. That was Thomas. Luke was also, he's not an apostle, but Luke was a doctor that followed Paul on his missionary journeys. And poor Luke, he got killed too. He was hung on an olive tree by the priest of Greece. Simon the zealot preached the gospel in Africa, even in England. He was crucified in AD 74. And the only disciple that didn't face martyrdom was the apostle John. But you realize in history, John was thrown in a pot of boiling oil. He was thrown in, you know goreng pisang, right? You throw goreng pisang into boiling oil, what happened? It becomes goreng pisang. He got fried. But John was the only apostle. Miraculously, God protected him as they threw him in the boiling oil, and they found that they couldn't kill him. You realize that he is not the isolated example. Many of these Christians, some of them were killed, but they just couldn't kill them, that they actually had to cut off their heads. Okay, so John, the emperor couldn't kill him, so what did they do? They exiled him to the island of Patmos, okay, where he died. Alright, and you know what? Sometimes when we think that we have been ostracized by society, John was put on the island of Patmos for what purpose? To write the book of Revelation. That speaks to us even today. Now, why did I bring up all this? What does it mean? These are people who have forsaken all. And they didn't even get anything in this life. If you look at the trend of Bible Christianity, you realize that it is paved with Christians totally committed to our Savior. What does it mean in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29? And everyone that forsakes houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake. What does it mean to follow Christ? Forsake all for Christ. It means this, the willingness, it refers, you can write down the willingness, it refers to the willingness of the Christian individual. You must be saved, you must be a Christian. Upon the call of Christ to cast off everything that binds him to this world, whether your job, occupation, whether it is possessions, your houses, whether it is your family and closest kin, and even our lives, to be loyal to Christ and Him only, and to serve Christ in whatever capacity the Lord so chooses and dictates. You know, as I think through this, I've tried to put it in a nutshell, all the different verses, what it means to forsake all for Christ. I'll read it one more time. I think some of you are trying to catch. It refers to the willingness of the Christian individual upon the call of Christ to cast off everything that binds him to this world, whether it is a job, occupation, whether it is possessions like houses, family and closest kin, and even our lives, in order that we might be loyal to Christ and Him only, to serve Christ in whatever capacity the Lord so chooses and dictates. You know, what does this mean? It means nothing we love should be important anymore compared to Christ. Nothing we love should be important anymore compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. After this, I'll go through that particular part. I just want to give you these thoughts first. It also means the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He stands for is our number one priority. Everything that the Savior stands for is number one priority with us. Because if we are to follow Christ, it means His priority is our priority, alright? Let's look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, as I'm studying these verses, the Bible says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." These are disciples that literally done that. They have forsaken. You know what's the meaning of forsake? The word forsake means to send it away. voluntarily give it up. You can take everything that I have. The word forsake means we have forsaken all the things we have and follow thee. You know what's the meaning of follow? You know, when I read the word follow, it was very interesting. The Greek word follow comes from two words. It means union on the same road. Together on the same road. Together, union. Union means coming together on the same road. So when Peter said, we have sent off all our things, they've given up everything, and they are joined together with Jesus on the road. What road? The road of Christ. The road that God tells them. We have forsaken all, Lord, and we have followed your road. In other words, my entire life is going to be given totally to walking your road. Lord, we have followed you. What shall we have? What shall we have therefore? It is interesting that many times we are told, well, if I do this, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Can I say this? Some Christians, when they serve, they oftentimes ask the question, well, I do that, what do I get? If I do this, what do I get? Can I say this from scriptural authority? When we ask that of men, we sin. But when we ask that of God, we do not sin. Do you know why? Because it is God that rewards, not men. Does it make sense? Because when we ask those questions, we come to a place in our Christian life that, why am I serving? I can guarantee you, somewhere along the line, some of you, when you serve, you may come to that point and asking, what's the point? Can I suggest you don't ask me, ask God? I can tell you, the moment you ask God, you will have no more. You don't need to ask that question anymore. Amen? When you stand before God, God, what's in it for? Well, okay, I know now. The reason why we need that is because we are looking for men's applause. We are looking for men to pat us on the back. No, don't do that. We serve Christ. Okay? So here, it's interesting, when Peter asked Jesus, Jesus did not scold him. Amen? Jesus didn't say, hey, come on, you serve me. No. The Lord Jesus actually encouraged him. Before I go into blessings, I want to thank God for Ambassador Baptist Church, because I know many people serve Christ willingly. I know along the way there may be some things in our lives that make it hard, but many people are willing to. Tonight I just want to focus a little bit more on the blessings, but I want to highlight what's involved in truly following Christ. Okay? I talked about it just now, that when we forsake all for Christ, it means nothing we love should be more important compared to Christ. It means the Lord Jesus and everything He stands for is number one priority for me. Whatever He stands for is number one priority for me. Does it make sense? Whatever Christ stands for, whatever He says in the Bible is number one priority for me if I have forsaken all for Christ. Now, what does the Lord Jesus Christ love? The Lord Jesus Christ loves His people. Amen? And if Jesus loves His people, we need to love one another with no strings attached. When we forsake all to follow Jesus, it means that. The second thing, I just give, there are thousands of things that Jesus loved. But number two, Jesus loved His Word. He is the living Word. And we need to love His Word too. Jesus loved His church. The Bible says He gave Himself for the church. In John chapter 2, the Bible says, the zeal of my house has consumed me. He was so angry that people were making use of the temple to make money, that He loved His house of God so much that He had to do something about it. You know what? As Christians today, as church members, we need to love God the same way Jesus loved His church. Because when we have forsaken Christ, we are saying, God, I'm following you, I'm union together with you on the road. Whatever you love, I need to love. Whatever is priority with you must be priority with me. Okay? What else does the Lord Jesus Christ love? One more thing, He loves souls. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 9, when He looked across the multitudes, the Bible says, His heart was what? Moved with compassion. He loved lost souls. We need to love lost souls. We need to be absolutely out there when there is time. I know we can go our soul winning in our own time. But last time as I was reading through some of these Bible studies about how to soul win, and there's one statement that's oftentimes mentioned by Bible teachers. They say, if you don't set a time to go, you will not go. Last time I thought, Singaporeans, you know, plan our time. But you know what, the more I live as a Christian, that is true. If we don't plan a time to go, we won't go. Soul winning. That's why we have it on Tuesday, Wednesday, now we have it on Saturdays as well. We need to love souls. Another thing where forsaking the world means, it means that we are obedient to Him. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians 2 verse 8. Philippians 2 verse 8. I'm just starting off by highlighting what it means to forsake this world and follow after Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let me read. And being found in fashion as a man, Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, in my family, I focus on one thing a lot with my children. Obedience is number one priority. Regardless of what you think is right. If Papa said or Mama said, that is what you follow. Because I see in the Bible, that is Christ's demand as well. That Christ was obedient to death, even if it means to die and give up His life, He will say, yes. That is our Savior. That is our Christ. And if what is important to Him ought to be important to us. You know, Brother Johnny, it becomes very hard if you put it that way. I believe on a Friday night I can preach like that because majority of us are church members and we are servants. On a Friday night, I hope to challenge you to that next level of Christian living, whereby the normal people who come to visit us on Sundays will not get. I hope you are able to take the strong meat that Christ wants to give to us. Turn to Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Luke 14:26. The Bible says, and this is one of the most, some of the verses I'm going to give you, sometimes stumble Christians or even people, or even Christians who don't know God as close. Luke 14:26, the Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Can I just clarify this? The word hate does not mean hate inside. That means evil hate. Does that make sense? That hate this person until you want to kill him. That's not the hate that Jesus means. The word hate has to do with loyalty. In other words, Christ is saying, your loyalty to Christ, the King of the universe, the one who saved our soul from hell, have to be above that of father, have to be above that of mother, have to be above that of wife, have to be above that of children, have to be above that of brothers and sisters. And your loyalty to Christ must even exceed your love for your own life. In other words, when it is time to die for Christ's sake, your love for Him is so high and you are so loyal to our Savior, they say, Lord, you take my life. It belongs to you anyway. You know, when you put it that way, when Christ puts it that way for us as Christians, it literally draws the line for our decision making, does it not? I want to go, there's a church versus party with my friends. A career prospect versus serving the Lord. girlfriend, boyfriend versus being faithful. Money and promotion versus soul winning. Jesus said, if any man would come to me and is more loyal to your father, your mother, and your wife, and your children, thank you, and your brethren, and your sisters, and your own life, that means you are more concerned for whatever you have. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. Well, that really draws the line. That really draws the line. Some thoughts. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 19 again, 29, before I go to the blessings. All right. My intention is not to this part, but I just want to highlight that it's a challenge, but can I say it's a blessed challenge from Christ. Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. Same thought. And everyone that had forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake. I want you to notice three thoughts from this verse before I go into the four blessings that you will get when you do that. The three, number one, the things of this life compared to spiritual things can be irrelevant. Irrelevant. Insignificant. Nothing matters. Some of you, I just shared this now, Brother Frank, the Frank, the Indian Frank, actually, he had a heart attack on Thursday, that was last week. And thank God he came to church on Sunday, he came to me quietly and said, Brother Pastor, pray for me, because he had a heart attack. He was, yesterday, he SMS'd me again, he came down from airport, straight, Gleneagles again. They found out that his heart is, there's an internal muscle that is weak. So, you know what? The first thing he told me, Pastor, now I have to pray for me because I'm making decisions I'm making life decisions. Why is it that only when we're going to die that we start making those decisions? Do you realize he earns a lot of money? He's very rich. His daughter goes to an international school in India. He's very well to do. But why is it that only when it's time to die that people start making decisions? Nothing else matters anymore. I wanted to visit him and didn't have time and opportunity thus far. It's in and out of hospital and all that. Why? While we still have life, we would focus on everything else. You know what Jesus tells us? If you will not forsake those, you will find one day, when the time has come for you to make life decisions, those things that you have are irrelevant. Number one. Number two, in Matthew 19:29, once again, the things of this life in view of eternity can even be a hindrance. Can even be a hindrance. Some of you cannot come for soul winning because there's something else they are doing. Some of the people that do not come for Friday night to receive and be fed with God's Word because there are other things more important to them. I know some of them are working. It's fine. I mean, if you have responsibility, but some of them are just sitting at home. Some of them are just taking it easy. And some of the people, I know there are some reasons people have, maybe they are sick or, but you know what? When we have time with the free time, what do we do with them? It becomes literally a hindrance, the things of this world. And one more point under this, the serving of Christ can involve, well, this one is the hardest, the sacrifice of family. The sacrifice of family. Can I say this? Your loyalty to Christ and His instructions must exceed the loyalty to your family. I don't say that lightly because I'm a family man too. But when we make decisions in favor of family and we know it's against Christ, fathers, we sin against Christ and we sin against our family. Oh yeah, you may have things intact. But you know what happens? You will soon grow cold as a family to the instructions of Christ. If the head is not following the spiritual head of the family, we need to make decisions that are consistent with biblical teaching. Otherwise, we sin. My wife and I went through a hard time and I had to go to Shanghai during the time of SARS. My father-in-law said, "You are crazy. You got young children." I know it was hard for my wife during that time. I told my father-in-law, "I'm going there because I know it's the God's will. I know it's the Lord's will for me to go, even during the time of SARS. And if I don't come back, God's will is done at that time." But it wasn't easy. The Lord taught me, if you would love your family more than me, you are not fit to be my disciple. Not fit. That's what Jesus said. Oh, Christians who have been Christians for quite some time, take this as the Lord challenging us to say, "I want you to grow. I want you to grow out." Because this is the demands of discipleship. Now, my focus is actually supposed to be a blessing, but I just highlight this. What are four blessings though? Notice in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus goes on to say, after Peter said, "Lord," in verse 27, "what shall we have therefore? We have forsaken all and followed thee." Can I say this? When you love Christ more than your family, when you love Christ more than your career, when you love Christ more than anything else in this world, Jesus tells us, "I promise you blessings." There are four. Number one, look at verse 28. You will receive personal reward. Notice Jesus, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You know, it's interesting. Where are you going to get your reward as a Christian? Where do you get your reward as a Christian? Many Christians look for rewards in this life. You won't get them. You just won't get them. We need to finish the course. The race is not done yet in this life. Does it make sense? And we have to be very clear in our minds. We're not going to be receiving pats on our backs here. I think as a church, we need to encourage one another. But in receiving rewards, Jesus says, ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the time has come in heaven, you will receive your personal reward. You will receive, well, Brother Johnny, it's going to be a long journey depending on how many years you live. Well, that's right. That's why you need to be in the church whereby everyone is running the same race. Well, maybe different causes, but we run the race. Every one of us have a different cause in your life. Some of us will be called to the full-time ministry. Some of us, we are full-time Christians. Okay? Wherever you are, you may have a different direction in your life that God is calling you, but we're all put together. Why? To help one another to run this race. We'll have personal reward. I'll just read a few. There are five crowns. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:25. Maybe I'll just get a few people to read. Brother Mike, if you can turn there. 1 Corinthians 9:25. If Sister Joycelyn, if you can turn 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. Then Brother Desmond, if you can turn 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Jacob, you can turn James chapter 1 verse 12. Jeremiah, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And then Sister Shaoling, if you can turn Revelation 2 verse 10. And then Brother Joshua, can you turn to Revelation 22 verse 12? Okay, so just read loud and clear, right? 1 Corinthians 9:25.
1 Corinthians 9:25, "And every man is guarded for the master in stubbornness in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible."
Okay, for people who would be disciplined and do God's work, and they will run the race in the right way, the Bible says to get an incorruptible crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Soul winner's crown. This crown of rejoicing will be given to people who win souls for Christ. Amen. Timothy chapter 4 verse 8.
"Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge you shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love is appearing.
Okay, when we love is appearing, the Bible says we will purify ourselves, our lives will be right with God, our motives and our heart, and we will receive the crown of righteousness as we make decisions on a regular basis that is based on God's word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay, James chapter 1 verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them.
Can I challenge you? Many of us go through trials in this life. Some trials are hard to bear. God promised if you will bear patiently, loving Him in the process, thanking God for the trials, knowing that God will answer your prayer as you go through the hard times, God says, I promise you, I'm going to give you a crown of life. Don't lose that crown, Christians. Can you imagine one day as you go, you're going through the trials of this life and you say, Roger, it's so hard. But the Lord says, I'm going to give you a crown of life. Maybe you look ahead in your thinking that when I stand before the Lord, Mike Boitman, he comes out and says, you have endured temptation all out. Here is the promised crown. And you will, perhaps with tears in your eyes, thank you, Lord. It was hard. But thank you for this. You know what's the purpose of that crown? It's not for you. It's then in gratefulness, say, God, you deserve the crown. I've got something to give God back. Did you realize this rewards that you have is to be given back as a worship to Christ? Okay, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4.
1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive the crown of glory and greater crown.
This crown is only for me. It's the pastor's crown. Especially for under shepherds. You need to pray for me. Revelation 2:10. Okay, once again, the crown of life. Okay, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. The phrase, as his work shall be, means quantity and quality. Quantity and quality. It's just like, I think, if I don't mind, I use Sister Gail, you do a lot of sketches and hand up or whatever. Let's say you do 10,000 sketches for your lecturer and you impress it. Wow, you got 10,000. But not only the quantity is good. Wow, not only you do 10,000, every single one of them very good, no? Wow. But can you imagine if 10,000 is all like, all one line, two lines? What's the point? Does that make sense? God rewards us according to our work. But let's turn back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. This is my encouragement oftentimes. Matthew 10:42. The first point is we'll receive personal reward. But in Matthew 10:42, Jesus said this. Let's read together. And may it ring in our ears tonight, okay? Matthew 10:42 says, ready? Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. Whosoever shall give to drink unto little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. This was not planned. This was not planned. Pastor Joy will not lose her reward. You know what this means to me? Listen carefully. The least thing that you would do with your pure heart for Christ, God knows it down. Some of you do quietly. When no one is around, you come quietly, perhaps you fix a light and you leave. Some of you may come tomorrow. Some of you will do things for the children's work and no one knows about it. God is taking it down. Amen? And it's not the pastor that will get the most reward. is a faithful member sometimes. And I believe that some of you may get more rewards than me at that day. Simply because you did it because you didn't want everyone to know what you did. And you didn't mind that you do it most compared to everyone else. And you had a pleasant attitude about it. And when the Lord saw that kind of work, He rewards. You know, this is an encouragement. That's why I don't mind sweeping the floor. I don't mind. Because as far as I'm concerned, God, remember God, I did this. It's between me and the Lord. And I serve the Lord. And I serve the Lord. Number one, when you serve God, you will receive personal reward. When you forsake all for Christ, sometimes you think, oh, this world doesn't reward me as much. I tell you, this world, you don't want this world to reward you. You know why? The more they give you, the more they want from you, right? Huh? They give you promotion, what does that mean? What does that mean? More work. Already you are so overwhelmed, more work. Yeah, they give you maybe $150 more, but you say you can keep $150. But, okay, number one, you will receive personal reward. Number two, notice in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29, you not only will receive personal reward, you will receive 100-fold. You know what does 100-fold means? You invest $1, you get $100. How's that for investment principle? Huh? How many of you will invest in the kind of bank? You put in $10, you get 1,000, right? 100 times. How many you want to put your money in the kind of bank? How many of you will invest all your money in that kind of bank? You save $100, you get how much? 10,000. At the end of, it's a lifetime investment, okay? 100 times. I was trying to look for in the Bible, Lord, what do you mean by 100-fold? You know, God never said. You know why? It's a surprise. Or I was reading the different people who commented on this. The 100-fold simply means you will receive considerable reward. You will receive an overwhelming amount of reward. That's what it means, 100-fold. I believe part of that reward is you see your parents getting saved. I believe that part of reward are friends that you were trying to reach for, didn't come to Christ in your side. But then, what are you doing here? What do you mean what I'm doing here? What are you doing here? I believe that your reward could be that people whom you love will come to Christ. Part and parcel of that. 100-fold. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. You will receive considerable reward. Number 3, Matthew chapter 19 verse 29, and shall inherit everlasting life. The third blessing you're going to have is you'll be assured of your salvation. Now, I've never understood really fully, how can anyone be fully assured of salvation? Because sometimes, I know the Bible says so, I think all of us so-called know that we are saved. But can I say this? There is nothing more glorious than understanding as you forsake all for Christ, that God Himself assures you of your salvation. Because you're going through all this, you belong to Me. The assurance of salvation. Full assurance. That's why Christians who are not committed to Christ sometimes doubt whether they are saved or not. You know why? Because you're unsure. You need to give yourself to Christ. And finally, Matthew chapter 19, verse 30. Many that are first shall be last, the last shall be first. Fourthly, you will be highly honored by Christ. This verse, read in the context, means this. Many Christians in this life seek the things of this life. They want to appear to be top compared to the people around. They want the things of this world. They want to be seen in the limelight. They want to be seen as being assertive. Even Christians in some churches, I think you need to learn to be assertive. It was very hard for me when I saw little Esther Joy being ridiculed just now. I'll tell you, in my mind I was thinking, I'm going to go back there and give it to this girl. How dare you call her that kind of name? That was in my mind. But then the Lord told me, what are you going to teach her? You teach her, you know, next time when she gets called, she'll call my papa and papa will beat the person up. You know, it was my opportunity to teach her. Sometimes when you trust Christ and do work for Him, the world, I had the privilege of teaching her 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 12. It said, when we are beside ourselves, it is to God. Do you understand that? When we are beside ourselves. So I explained to her, no, you, yourself is here. Okay? When you are beside yourself, means you are not acting in a way consistent to your own self. Does it make sense? When you are beside yourself, it is to God. But Paul was saying, you see me beside myself, you perceive me as not being consistent with what humans do. But actually this beside myself is consistent with what I believe. Does that make sense? Basically, when we preach Christ, people think we're crazy. Huh? So our children, can I say parents, when your children try to tell your school friends about Christ, they are going to be ridiculed. You will not be there. You know what they will do? They will do whatever comes naturally. How dare you call my Christian? They will fight. You need to pray. When we choose to be first in this life, when we choose to move ahead faster than other people in this life, Jesus promised you, you will be last in the kingdom of heaven. But if you will put yourself away, if it's okay, you let people step all over you, but you serve Christ with all your heart, you'll be like Jesus who was stepped on even by Judas. Human people crucified the God of glory. Did Jesus fight back? What did Jesus say when he was being arrested? Could I not call 12 legions of angels? You realize that day Jerusalem could have been wiped out by God? You know, apparently there was some Christian who said, you know, the angels were standing. How dare they do that to our Creator? God, just give the command, we'll come down and destroy them. Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have called the angels. There's this song that said, He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and make Him free. But He didn't do that. You know why? Jesus was willing to be stepped on for Christ, for God, for our salvation. Can I say this? If we were to follow the example of Christ, is it okay if someone steps on you? Is it okay if someone insults you? I'm going to preach that on Sunday to close it. I'll talk about Moses. I'll just give you a glimpse. The Bible says, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than Egypt. The word reproach means being ridiculed, insulted, despised with you Christian. He esteemed the reproach of Christ, Moses did, greater riches because he had recompense to the reward. I mean, he knew he's going to be rewarded by the King of this universe. Can I challenge you? The blessing for a believer, God does not forget anything that you have gone through. He doesn't. Our God is so good that whatever you give up, He gives you back 100-fold. I think that's good investment sense. Jim, what did Jim Elliot say? He is no fool who what? Gives what he cannot keep. To gain what he cannot lose. You know what Jim Elliot gave his life before even any of the Yucca Indians got saved. But you know what? Those 5 men who lost their life, they will be crowned. And God says, it's because of you that that village got saved. I'm going to reward you. Although you didn't do anything, you tried, they killed you first. Are we willing to give up this world for Christ? The culture, can I say it? For the younger ones, children, as you are paying attention, this world's culture is not going to help you to walk with God. You have to decide yourself to walk with God. Mom and dad will not be around after some time. They're going to go back to heaven. You have to keep on carrying the light of Christ in this world. If you choose not to obey mom and dad now or don't live for Christ now, you will find the world will sweep you away, make you think you're Christians, And then you die and go to hell, even though mom and dad try very hard to tell you what is right and wrong. However, if you say, I'll listen to what mom and dad says, because that's what the Bible says, because the Bible is the lamp unto my feet, like to my path. And I'll walk the way, as mom and dad walk with Christ, I'm going to walk with Christ too. When you walk with Christ, you will find that people may not support you as much. As homeschoolers, we don't get, this world don't get the easy link or whatever when it comes. But you know what? So what? So what if we eat less in this world? We're going to feast in heaven, amen? Forever and ever, we're going to have blessings. Can I challenge you to forsake this world? May Ambassador Baptist Church members have this heart for God that says nothing in this world will hold me, not even my own life, for me to serve Christ with all of my heart. As we close, when you choose to be first in this life, mark it down, you will be last in the kingdom of God. But when you seek first the kingdom of God in this world, you are least in this world and despised. God will put you first. Amen? This world, when they put you first, like tomorrow will be the presidential elections, and there's only going to be one man in that Istana. One man. May the best man win. I don't know who is it. Okay, as Christians, we need to be praying for this man. But you know what? So what if 2.17 million people vote for one person to be the president? And he's honored by all. And he goes around and everyone loves you. But for the humble Christian who does the will of God, no one recognizes the king of this universe. I noticed that. And he will. He communicates with us. Amen? That was for those who came a bit later, I'm saying God has been answering our prayer left, right and center. Everything that we needed in this church, He has given. Okay? We still need 180,000, but well, our God is rich. But you know, three last question. Number one, are you following Christ? Are you union together with Him on the same road? Or is He walking this road and you're walking elsewhere? Is He calling out to you and you're ignoring? Are you following Christ? Number one. Number two, do you remember a time in your life that you honestly have surrendered completely to Jesus Christ? For those who have you left that commitment? For those who have you left that commitment? Whereby I say, God, I surrender all. And then as time goes by, different situations, you begin to move away from what is first place. And finally, the question is, where is your allegiance? Are you loyal to Christ? Or are you more loyal to your family? Are you loyal, more loyal to the money of this world? Are you more to the career? Are you more loyal to other things rather than Christ? You know, it's an encouragement that one day we will see Christ. But you know what? How we're going to see Christ is a different thing. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. I know some heavy thoughts on a Friday night. But Lord, I pray that you will not give us indigestion in our spiritual stomachs. But that God, we will be ready to receive the strong meat that comes from your word. I thank you for the many brethren that are here. Many more brethren that will hear this message on the internet. And I pray for everyone who hears this message to recognize Jesus and this world cannot mix. You are the God of the universe. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the savior of our souls. You are the one who poured out your blood on the cross, shed your precious blood in order to redeem us from an everlasting hell. Lord, what can compare to you? Father, help us to understand this truth. Lord, may our loyalty be to you. God, in our heart may reflect our love for you. May our life action be consistent with our love for you. May the things that we do, Lord, in our life, the words that we say, our attitudes that we have, and God, our entire being be consistent with our love for Christ. For Lord, very plainly you say in your word, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Dear Lord, tonight, you've shown us your blessings. You promised that God, you will bless those who will put you first. You will give us personal reward. God, you will honor us. You will put us first, even though we are put last by this world. Lord, we know when we forsake this world and all that this world has, many will not find us good friends anymore because we don't agree with their works. Lord, help Ambassador, help every church member to put you first. Lord, I know perhaps some may say, Brother Johnny, that's so hard. Help us to see we can't achieve it in our own strength. We need you to help us, but we need to make a decision first to follow you. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask you, has God spoken to you today? Did God speak to you and say, my son, my daughter, you need to learn to move up in your spiritual decisions for me. I don't want you to stay where you are. Are you prepared to forsake just a little bit more of this? Are you prepared to open another door to Christ in your life? Say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me. Pray for me that God will help me. Brother Johnny, tonight I want to decide to forsake all according to as God, as much as God will give me strength. God, can you pray for me that God will give me that strength? Is there anyone? I am deciding to forsake this world. But I'm asking God, amen, I can see those hands. Amen. I'm deciding to forsake this world. But I need God to help me. Amen, I can see that hand too. Anyone else? I see those hands. Remember this. Yes, I can see that hand too. As you put your hand down, pray in your heart, it will mean a lot of decisions that you have to make as you go along. Amen. Put it up and put it down. Anyone else? Brother Johnny, pray for me that God give me strength as I decide tonight to forsake this world. Is there anyone? Can I ask you another question? One more. If you're here today, you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. And you probably say, Brother Johnny, that's too much. But you know, Jesus gave all that we might have life. If you come to Him, He'll forgive your sin and He will take you to heaven. And then He says, I want you to learn to follow me. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I don't understand about salvation, but I want to find out more. Is there anyone? And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the hands that have gone up. We thank you for those who say, Lord, we will forsake all. You know, Lord, forsaking all always begins with the heart. Oh God, help us. We need your help, Lord. We need your help to be set apart for you because the salvation of our loved ones depend on that. The salvation of our children depend on that. The salvation of the people that come to church depend on that. Oh God, we know that you cannot use a vessel that is unclean. But tonight we want to clear the dirt in our lives as we surrender all. Father, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will use us in a mighty way, an ambassador. While we're just instruments, oh God, we need your help. We need your help. And Father, we pray that you will honor our decision, Lord, even as we have made them. Thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, may ambassador continuously see blessings from God. But God, we pray that you help us to be prayerfully humble because we know we don't deserve this, but you are giving us your blessing from heaven. We pray you bless everyone who have made a decision. Strengthen them, Lord, with double portion of your power. And God, I pray their lives will change. And whatever they pray for, I ask that you answer that in a mighty way. As we take prayer requests, Lord, I ask that you be in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's take some prayer requests.